Thank you so much for the opportunity to bring God's word to you tonight. And just thanking God for the opportunity to worship Him and just these very precious songs that we've just sung. What a delight, but also a sweet reminder of what we're going to be talking about, looking at Psalm 62 and the subject of trusting in the Lord. So I'd like to invite you to open your Bible to Psalm 62. We'll read through the whole psalm together. Psalm 62. To the chief musician, to Jonathan, a psalm of David. Truly my soul waiteth upon God, from him cometh my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, he is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. How long will ye imagine mischief against the man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bowing wall. You shall be, and as a tottering prince. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be broken. In God is my salvation and my glory. The rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. Surely men of a low degree are vanity, and men of high degree are lying. To be laid in the balance, they are altogether lighter than vanity. Trust not in oppression, and become not vain in robbery. If riches increase, do not set your heart upon them. God hath spoken once, twice I have heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy, for thou rendest to every man according to his will. So far, my dear Lord, God's word, let us pray together. Heavenly Father, with your word open, your everlasting word, we ask that you would lead us as we think this over. Speak to our minds, our hearts, enable our wills. Lord, above all, may your name be honored and glorified as we do so. For Jesus' sake, we pray. This psalm ends with a very sobering note in verse 12, saying, "For thou renderest to every man according to his will." Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, God had determined that his servant David should end the psalm on this note, reminding us that we will bring account to the Lord of all things, all our works. And isn't it interesting that it is especially the case, and often forgotten, when it comes to the whole subject of trusting in God? We will bring an account to the Lord in the way that we have trusted in Him. Let us remember that as we work our way through the psalm. But before we look at the psalm in more detail, I want to take you back into history, less than 100 years ago, and mention to you a man by the name of Bastian Johann Adam. He was killed on 20 November 1944, just before his 35th birthday, and about 6 months before the end of World War II. He was a Christian pastor in a little village near Groningen in the country of Holland. After the Nazis invaded Holland, he and his wife converted their home into a hideout for Jewish refugees escaping the Holocaust and British pilots who had survived being shot down and wanted to escape back to England. He considered it his calling to help these people, whilst he also continued to minister to his congregation. He and his wife daily risked their lives to help these people by placing their lives in danger, helping them to escape, providing safety and shelter for them, arranging new IDs, arranging food parcels, visiting them, and sharing the gospel with them. All because of their faith in God and their Savior Jesus Christ. He was arrested by the Gestapo whilst helping a young Jewish girl escape to safety. He died. But according to a surviving converted Jewish woman by the name of Johanna Dobschwein, it was estimated that in dying he had saved the lives of 300 Dutch Jews, including this woman, just before he died. He wrote this poem to his wife, which reached her and read as follows. I yearn for freedom and cry for justice. Yet, I know it is not about me. I have fought the good fight, and now I sail away to a distant bright shore. Bastian Johan Aerts' selfless and heroic life was an expression of his faith and his trust in the Lord. He trusted in the Lord at all times. And that is what each one of us are called to do in Psalm 22, and particularly verse 8, which is the climax of the psalm, stating, trust in the Lord at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us. Trust the Lord at all times. We have this ongoing need to trust in God. Think of your life. If you have been a Christian for any length of time, then this matter of trusting God comes to the fore clearly. How we need to trust God, and often, constantly throughout the day, thinking of all that life throws at us, or to put it more vividly, by the providence of God, all things that come into our lives. How we need to trust God. This is for our health. We need to trust God. Our work. Our families. Whatever situation we may find ourselves in, relationships, we need to trust God constantly. That is really the message of the psalm. It is so straightforward, but yet such an important message. The title of the psalm describes the psalm to David. Now David was a man whose character swung. Yet he always returned to God. He had strengths, but he also had flaws. At times, we read of him how he had fallen to sin. But then he stood fast. He had joys, and he had sorrows. But the main feature of his life was, as a man whose heart was after God, is that he always returned to God in spite of the fact that he had flaws, just like us. The situation of the psalm is given to us in verses 3 and 4. He writes there, in verse 3, how long will you imagine mischief against the man? Ye shall be slain, all of you, as a bound wall. Ye shall be, and as a tottering fence. They consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless the man mouth, but they curse his name. Evidently, David was surrounded by his enemies. And depending on the reading of verses 3 and 4, it was either that he had become like a tottering fence, ready to fall over, or warning them that they will be falling over like a tottering fence. His enemies consulted together to bring him down, delighting in lies, and even blessed to their mouth, and inwardly, very different story, curse in their hearts. One of the first periods of hardship that David experienced was when he was still a young man, in fact, even a boy, perhaps even the age of 15 years. Saul, the first king in Israel, had taken on David into his palace because of his ability to play the harp. Yet, because of David's famous defeat of the giant Goliath, Saul had become envious of David because of his popularity amongst the people. And Saul's jealousy roamed him to the point where he plotted David's death. As a result, from that time forward, David had to flee for his own life. For a period of about 10 years, David lived as a fugitive, because Saul had made it his mission to destroy the life of David. How David had to trust in God when his enemy was in hot pursuit of his life. But it didn't end there for David. There were also hardships that had come into David's life because of his own doing. Some years after he had become king in Israel, you might remember that very sadly he had committed the sin of adultery with Bathsheba. He had fallen naked. The consequences of this act and the events that followed haunted David and his family for the rest of his life, for about 2 years. David's own son, Amnon, raped his half-sister Tamar, bringing untold misery into the life of David. Not long after that, Tamar's full brother, Absalom, killed Amnon for his deeds. And then Absalom flees from David and for about 5 years did not come into the presence of his father. Then Absalom tries to grab the kingdom from David's hand, and David flees from Jerusalem. This goes on for about 4 years. The rebellion of Absalom ends up in his own death. In battle against David and David's commander of his army, Joab, taking the life of Absalom. David's challenges and trials did not end there, because his son Adonijah, towards the end of his life, sought to claim the throne for himself, bringing further trial challenges. Besides the above, David was constantly at war. He had faced opposition on every side. It literally felt to him like his life at times had become like a collapsing wall. A fence ready to fall over. In spite of all David's promises, he never turned away from me. I kept on coming back to him and trusting him. And then he gives us the summary verse in verse 8 of David's essential outlook on life. Through all that had happened to him, his heart and his mouth is still the same. Trust in the Lord at all times. David wrote the psalm apparently to Jonathan, the chief musician, the director of public music, for the purpose of bringing the psalm into the house of God. And in so doing, David is handing this psalm over to become public property, the property of God's people. Think about it. God has decided, through the Holy Spirit, to make this psalm the property of every generation of God's people. To trust in the Lord. To trust in Him alone. And to trust in Him at all times. Isn't that where our challenge lies? It's not to trust in God, but to trust in God alone at all times. Think of the trials and the challenges that you face in your life. What are you trusting in as you face up to those challenges? What am I trusting? Are there times that we are trusting for relief, for deliverance, in something other than God? Who are we committing our trust to? Are we perhaps at times, if we were honest with ourselves, relying on worldly wisdom? Or perhaps in pragmatism? Or are we looking at the professionals, or riches, or someone else, rather than singularly trusting in God? The challenge that we face is trusting God at all times. What happens when we trust God and we trust something else? James Montgomery explains it this way. It is like having one foot on a solid foundation and another on an object that is unstable, and it is moving away from the solid foundation. In the picture, in mind, what is the inevitable outcome of such a situation? We will find sooner or later that we will fall down. David had learned that if he was to trust in God at all, then he had to trust in God. When he did, he found God to be his rock, to be his salvation, to be his fortress. Fixed on that rock, David knew that he would never be shaken, not be moved. What does it mean to trust in God at all times? It seems to me that it means that we set our trust and our expectation on God alone for His salvation and His deliverance against our battle with sin and wickedness. To look to Him alone, to be our defense and our refuge against the attack of our enemies. To look to Him for His steadfastness. To uphold us when we go through trials and tests. To rely literally on His strength to overcome our foes. His blood to cover our shame and to define our identity. To trust in God is to wait on Him for all these things. If we maintain our desire and our reason for living as God and God alone, then we will find the joy and the blessing of trusting in God. When we do the things that we do with the motivation for doing them to be God and Him alone, and when we look at our desires as our desires to be directed to God above all things else, then it is that we will find that we are trusting God. Many people make shipwreck of their faith in their own lives by choosing an inferior object to trust rather than trusting God. When we do that, it is by putting our trust in a bubble which is bound to pop. That's really what the psalmist is telling us in verses 11 and 12. As much as this psalm shows us an absolute trust in God and commend us to the power of God, His trustworthiness and His love, even we are shown the vanity of trusting in man, in human strength and in riches. Have a look at this in the beginning. Surely men of low degree are a vapor. Men of high degree are lying. If they are weighed on the scales, they are altogether lighter than vapor. Do not trust in oppression, nor vainly hope in glory. Do not set your heart on riches to the enemies. Essentially, David says, those who trust in man will not get what they are hoping for. I'm not sure we can identify them. We will not get what we are hoping for, because man is like a veil that will disappear and is weighed lighter, David says, than a breath on the scales. But there is no loss in being a Christian, David says, in trusting in the Lord at all times. For He is a refuge. He is not a vain hope. He is nothing quite like faith. Faith that gives our cares to God, and to have no other care than how to please Him. Charles Spurgeon tells the story of a poor pastor who trusted in the way that David teaches in the Psalm. He says, I know an independent gentleman that lives on 3 shillings and 6 pence a week. A common labourer earned more than double that. But he says, in sickness and in weariness, God will provide. If my father knows I need more, he will send me more. If you hint at him, then his parish allowance will be taken away. He will just smile and say, if it does not come one way, God will send it in another way. Isn't that what our Savior Himself teaches us in Matthew chapter 6, verses 39 to 33? Do not worry. Say, what shall I eat? What shall I drink? What shall I wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your heavenly Father knows that you have need of all these things. And many are saying this, but first seek the kingdom of God, his righteousness. And then that all these promises that follows, all these things will be added to you. That's exactly David's testimony and counsel to us. He says, my soul trusts in God alone. And then he goes on to say, trust in him at all people, at all times, you are equal. When David are tempted to doubt whether God is trustworthy, or rather when we are tempted, David reminds us by saying to us in Psalms 37, verse 25, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. In fact, the Psalms constantly run this theme of putting our trust in God. We can't miss it when we read the scriptures. For example, Psalm 46, the well-known verses 1-2. God is a refuge and strength, an ever-present help in time. What a contrast to the veil of trusting in man. Therefore we will not fear, even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though its waters roar and it crumbled, though the mountains shake with its swell. But there's something that should guard against as a hindrance when it comes to trusting God. What is that? When we are called to trust in God, let us not do what many people do. They make up their minds beforehand what it is that they're going to do. And then they pray, Lord, show me what I should do. Then they carry out their original intentions and do not follow the Lord's direction, because it does not end up being what they wanted in the first instance. They like God's direction as long as it points them in the direction that they wish to go. But God's direction often leads us down another road. And then people are not so willing to follow the Lord in. Let us guard against that. Let us search our hearts. Let us be willing to follow after the Lord's will rather than our own wills. We want protection from danger. We all do. We want help in times of need. Absolutely. But as long as we are unwilling to trust God, we will not know the wonder of faith in Him. Nor will we see the power of God. In closing, David says that he has learned two lessons. Firstly, that God is strong. And secondly, that God is loving. Look at verses 11 and 12. Our oath belongeth unto God. Also unto thee, O Lord, belongeth mercy. God is strong. That is, he is absolutely sovereign over the entire sweep of history, over the everyday affairs of our lives, including the dangers and the difficulties of life. But God is also loving and merciful. The word that David uses for the love of God is in the chesed, in the Hebrew, which refers to God's faithful love for his glory. There's something very remarkable about David's faith in God and his Messiah that should encourage and inspire us. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus refers to this remarkable faith of David. He says there, speaking to some of the Jews who were in opposition, challenging Jesus, "For David himself said, by the Holy Spirit, the Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand, till I make your enemies your footstool," quoting Psalm 102, verse 1. "Therefore David calls him Lord. How then is it that he is his son?" David, in saying these words, knew the God that he was trusting. He was trusting, he says, in the Lord who said to my Lord, "Sit down until I make your enemies your footstool." And in doing it, we are given a revelation of Jesus who trusted in the same Savior that we are trusting. The very Son of David, who is his Lord, is both trusting in Yahweh and he's trusting in Yahweh's Messiah as his Lord. And so when he is calling us to trust in the Lord at all times, we are called to trust in the triune God, our all-sufficient God, Father and Son, but also, no doubt, in the Holy Spirit. Now, knowing about God's salvation that is offered to us in his Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, should cause us to rejoice greatly in the power and the steadfast love of God. Why? Because there would be no salvation for you or anyone else if God lacked either of these. If God had the power but lacked mercy or steadfast love, he would be able to save us and deliver us, but he would have no inclination to do so. If God, on the other hand, was merciful, but he lacked power, he might have the desire to save us, but he would not be able to do so. David says to this again, "God has spoken once, twice, I have heard this. There is no shadow of doubt in the fact that God is all-powerful and he is compassionate and merciful at the same time. Therefore, he reaches out and he will reach out to save us because he successfully demonstrated in doing so through our Lord Jesus Christ. Will he not remain committed to his people?" Power is the strong foundation of the love of God, and love is the beauty and the crown of his power. That is why we can rest in God alone. Trust in God at all times. That is what the Lord is calling us to do when we look at the weekend. There will be good times, and there might be hard times. How will we face them? We have been reminded to trust in him at all times. When we fall into sin, and we feel like we have lost our salvation, that is the time to trust in him. He is willing to forgive and to restore the joy of our salvation. When we go through times of sadness or bereavement, God is better to us than a thousand sons. He's a father to the fatherless. He's a husband to the widow. When trouble comes, Let us trust in Him at all times. He will make sure that the waters will not overtake us. When we go through very hard times and dark times, and things unexplainable happens to us, and we feel like God is far away, hey, that is the time for us to trust in God. Because although our enemies might be mighty, God is almighty. Our troubles are grievous, but God is greater than our troubles. He will deliver us. How shall it exist if we are trusting in God? David sang this heart. Pour out your hearts before Him. If we pour out our hearts before God, that is an indication that we are trusting in God. You and I should pour out our wants to God. We should bring our loved ones to God in prayer. We should plead with the Lord concerning our hard times. We should share our pressures with the Lord, and we should bring our needs before the throne of mercy. We should also remember to pour out our praises to Him for mercies received and for blessings received. Let us trust in the Lord. Like that English pastor, like Bastian Johann Arbe, like King David, and the people of God, who are the believers in God.